Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Our text this morning is verse 3. And this is a verse that every time I read it, it gets my attention. It reminds me of what I need to preach. And it reminds me of what you need to hear. The end of verse 3 says, "The simplicity that is in Christ." My desire is that by the end of this message, we might all know what that means. My desire is that every person in this room, no matter how old, no matter how young, understands what it means to say the simplicity that is in Christ. At the beginning of verse 3, he said, "But I fear." That's where the sincerity of true worship and a true urgency for the gospel begins. That's where it begins. It begins with fear. David and Solomon both said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And true God-sent wisdom will teach a man or a woman something of the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, "But I fear." He feared men and women's souls who were going out to meet God. And I do too. The more we learn about the true and living God, the true and living God of heaven through earth, heaven and earth, through His Word, this Word He's given us, the more that we see of His absolute holiness and justice, the more that we learn that He is not the way that we have Him made up in our minds, the more it's confirmed to us that He's nothing like we have Him made up to be in our minds. He is a just God who hates, punishes, kills all workers of iniquity. And then the more this word reveals to us what we truly are, what I truly am, and that is a worker of iniquity. The more we come to know that, the more I fear. I fear for every man and woman here. I fear for our children. I fear for every single person in this town. Would to God He would cross the truth with every single person in this town. Would to God He would make this Nineveh. I fear for every single person on this earth. I fear for myself. The Apostle Paul feared for himself. He said, "Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." It's a wise thing to fear. It is a wise thing to fear. At the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And that fear of God, Paul, the Apostle Paul, knowing something of who God really is, The one who holds the keys of hell and death. Isn't that what he said? I hold them. The one who said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, I, the Lord, do all these things. I am God, and beside me there is none else. Paul, fearing God and fearing men and women going to meet God who are not ready to go meet God, thinking that they are ready to go meet God. That fear is what brought on the fear that he mentions right here in verse 3. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He feared them being lied to in what the world calls religious matters. That's what he feared. Things concerning salvation and eternal life, just like Eve was. He said, I fear the same thing will happen to you that happened to Eve. He feared them going to meet God with a false hope and then being destroyed because of it. That's what he feared. There is only one thing that we can go to meet God with. There's only one thing, and that's the truth. The truth. The one and only hope that there is. Not a false hope built on lies. It will not stand. The one and only true hope that there is, and that hope is in the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, destruction began. Absolute destruction began with the first man and the first woman on this earth. Destruction began through the subtle lies of religion. This could be the most important thing I'll ever tell you. Religion claims to be the fix to the problem. We all have a problem. Well, what you need is religion. Religion claims to be the fix to the problem, when in reality, religion started the problem in the first place. Man fell in religion. Man was corrupted through religion. And while we're here, let me just go ahead and tell you that any church, any place of worship that preaches and believes the actual truth of God's Word, not their opinions on God's Word, not just the traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, God's actual Word, any person, any individual person that clings to and believes the actual truth of what God has said in His Word is not in religion. Any person who is holding to the actual Word of God Almighty is not in religion. That person is in Christ. That person is in Christ. The very last thing that I want to be in, and the very last thing that I want you to be in, is religion. The last thing. The truth is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. It's not in the do's and the don'ts and the morality or anything else that religion has to offer. It's in Christ. There's a big difference. There is a life and death difference. All that religion is do's and don'ts and morality and everything else. That's all it is. And it corrupts people from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, let me show you what I mean. I want to show you how this whole problem started. Here's where the whole thing started. Let's go to where our brother just read a minute ago. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent," the adversary, the devil, "was more subtle." Most people think of him as being not subtle at all. Most people think of him as being the complete opposite of God. The complete opposite of what God has said. God is this way and he is that way. What God said sounds like this, and what he says sounds like that. That's not so. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" This is how he deceived her. This right here is how he corrupted her. He said, "God says you can eat of every tree in the garden." The end of verse 1, he said, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Didn't God say that? What did God say? Look at chapter 2, verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." God did say that. That's exactly what God said. This whole thing started with him quoting God's word. Here's where the subtlety comes in. That's only half of what God said. Usually the error, when you hear a man who's in error, preaching error, deceiving people, usually the error is not in what the man says. It's usually in what he will not say. Verse 17. God Almighty said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Eve had been taught the truth. Eve knew the whole truth. Go back to chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The knowledge of good and evil is the law. Knowing what's right and knowing what's wrong is the law. The law will post a speed limit. And what that's saying is, as long as you drive this speed or below, it's good. If you go faster than this speed, it's evil. As long as you do this or less, you will not be punished. And if you go faster than this, you will be punished. The knowledge of good and evil is the do's and the don'ts of the law. God said, "Do not lay hold of the law and try to add it to the life that I have given you. The day you do that, you're going to die. Your trying to obey the law will only harm you. Look at chapter 1, verse 31. It says, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. He said, you're complete. And that's what God tells His people right now, through His Word. In Christ, you're complete. In Christ, you're complete. You are absolutely complete in Him. Absolutely complete. But the adversary, the corrupter of men and women's souls, the author of religion said, verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. If you lay hold of that law and you add it to yourself, you'll become even better than you are right now. You are not yet as complete as you can be. You are not quite as complete as God says you are. And that right there is the lie that's still being told in religion today. That's the lie. You can make yourself better. Hath not God said? Hath not God said? You can get yourself to a place where you don't even need God. You can earn your own salvation. You can work your own righteousness. You can make yourself so holy and so sanctified and so perfect, you'll be just like a little God yourself. That makes me so afraid. That makes me so afraid, and this is the reason why. God said, in the day that you stand before me, holding the fruit of the law, trying to show yourself to be worthy through the do's and the don'ts of the law, you are going to die. Now, I know that you are a sinner before God. And the reason I know that is because I am a sinner before God. We're all sinners before God. If we try to regain His favor and regain acceptance through obeying the law, if we think that the answer to our problem is in straightening up and flying right, turning over that new leaf, going back and righting everything we wronged, knowing and doing good instead of knowing and doing evil, if that's what we believe, will commend us to God. Should we do good instead of evil? Absolutely. Do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But if we believe that that is what will commend us to Him, and if that's what we take to Him, if that's our hope, we're going to die in our sins. We're going to die in our sins. If we try to fix it, we'll die in our sins. If we do anything, we're going to die in our sins. All right, that brings us to the only hope that a sinner has before God. There is one way of escaping the destruction of God's wrath. One way. There's only one way that leads to forgiveness and acceptance and eternal life, and it's back in 2 Corinthians 11. (Clears throat) 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity means singularity. Single. One. There is one way. There is one truth. There is one life. That way, that truth, and that life is in Christ. I want to explain what that means through the Word. I want this Word to explain to us what that means. Go with me to Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 19 says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. He's saying, don't touch the law. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is redemption? It's a payment made. It actually means the price paid in full. Before we're allowed to take something home from the store, we have to pay for it in full. Redemption has to be made. God freely justified His people through one singular, full, complete payment for all of their sins. Where was that payment made? Verse 24 says, in Christ. In Christ. In His body on the tree. In His blood that was spilled. Verse 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a bloody victim, through faith in His blood. His one offering for sin, by the sacrifice of Himself, He purged our sins. By Himself, purged our sins. Don't add anything to it. God will not have it. The price is paid in full in Him. Leave it right there. Look with me at Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you desperately need no condemnation? There is a place. There is one place where there is no condemnation. It's in Christ. Only in Christ. Verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, the things that pertain to the flesh, the do's and don'ts of the flesh, but after the Spirit. Faith in Him. Looking to Him. Trusting Him. He did it all. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." Where is life? Where can eternal life be had? In Christ Jesus. Only in Christ. He said, "I am the life." Verse 2 says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Everything is satisfied and settled. Everything is accomplished for His people in Christ. Everything. Redemption is in Christ. No condemnation is in Christ. Life is in Christ. Look at verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Where's the love of God? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of God's love is in Christ. It's all in Christ. The only way that God can love us is in Christ. If a sinner wants to hear God loves you, that sinner has to be in Christ. Outside of Christ, no love. Inside of Christ, all love. It's that simple. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Look at chapter 9. Verse 1 says, "I say the truth in Christ." Where's the truth? In Christ. If a man is preaching Christ alone to be the singular, only hope of glory, he's preaching the truth. If he's preaching anything other than Christ alone, if he's preaching Christ plus something else added to it, lies. The lies of religion. The minute we add something to Christ, we no longer have the singularity. Isn't that right? We no longer have the simplicity that's in Christ. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I'll be brief. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." The perfect, spotless one. "He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Absolute perfection. You know where our perfection is? Our perfect obedience, our right standing before God. Last two words. In Him. In Him. Go with me to Galatians 2. Galatians 2 verse 4 says, "And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." He's talking about the bondage of the do's and the don'ts of the law. He called them false brethren, false preachers coming in saying, "Now, if you want to go to heaven, you better do this and you better stop doing that." Peter called that in Acts 15 a yoke of bondage that neither the apostles or any other man has ever been able to bear. I cannot do what the law commands me to do. I cannot do it. Paul said right here, in Christ we have liberty. What that means is if we ever come to know the truth that God has written in this word, the absolute truth of Christ, that truth will set us free. completely set us free. Who He is, what He has done, where He is now, that'll set us free. Turn the page to Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you miss one, you miss them all. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Christ alone. The simplicity of faith in Christ. Verse 12. And the law is not faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He took our sin upon himself, made himself to be cursed in our place. When he did that, he set us free. Totally set us free. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. Now, think about this. When we see the extent that he went to, in order to redeem us from the curse and the punishment of the law, when we see that, do we see what an insult it is to him? When we say, what Christ accomplished was not enough, we have to go back and try to satisfy the law that he redeemed us from. Do we see what an insult that is to him? That is why God the Father says, I will not have it. That's an insult to my son's blood. That's an insult to my son's death. And I will not have it. If you bring that to me, you'll die in your sins. Salvation, redemption, life is in Christ alone. Everything is wrapped up in the single simplicity of Christ. And we could keep going. Can you imagine how many things there are in here that are in him? In Christ. We could keep going. Let's do one more. All right, we'll close with this. Go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 10 says, and you are complete in him. In Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says, of God are you in Christ Jesus. Salvation is God choosing some sinners and placing them in Christ. And he did not do that for everybody. He didn't do it for everybody. Nobody deserved it, but God is kind. Nobody wanted it. But God is kind. Everybody should have died in their sins, but God is kind. God is inclusive. So he chose to have mercy on some. And he put some in Christ. And he didn't do it for everybody, but here's how you can know if he did it for you. Every sinner that God places in Christ, every single one, he gives that sinner faith to believe on Christ. Christ alone. Every sinner that has been safely placed in Christ will receive eyes to see the truth of God's word. It's not by the law. At first we're saying, can all these people be wrong? Because they say you got to do this, and they say you got to do that, and they say you got to do that, and they say you got to do that. It's so confusing. It's actually not simple. Because, see, they say if you cross these two, and this word says it's the simplicity of Christ alone. Yes, I believe that's the truth. I believe they have missed it. Can they all be wrong? I believe so. Every single sinner placed in Christ will receive eyes to see the truth, a heart that believes it, a heart that actually believes what is impossible for man to believe without God moving. And every single one of them will say, it's all in Christ. All of the obedience that God demands of me is in Christ. He was obedient enough for me and every single person God put in him. And all of the punishment that is owed to me is in Christ. God poured it all out on him. And it's done. And that's where I leave it. My hope is totally in him. Totally in him. Every time you approach the Father, we've done it a couple of times already this morning in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, every time you approach the Father, especially the day that you stand before His throne, everybody in here will. It'll be reality. More real than I'm standing here right now. More real than I'm standing in front of this pulpit. I'm going to stand in front of His throne. Every time you approach the Father, every single time you tell Him, my hope is in Christ alone. My hope is in His blood alone. My hope is in His life, in His death alone. My hope is completely, totally, singularly in Him. Plead that, and peace will be unto you. You will not die in your sins. He promises. You plead that, and peace will come to you. You'll find eternal rest for your soul. May the Lord help us to do that.